This is Jim Inkster, and we're joined now by the remarkable Mike Lupica, one of the most prolific writers in North America, a newspaper columnist known for his provocative commentary on sports in the New York Daily News and his appearances on ESPN. He dabbles in politics as well, and he is also a novelist, and his latest work is Robert B. Parker's Blood Feud. Robert B. Parker was a writer of note himself, as we know, the author of 70 books, and Mike was chosen as a longtime friend to Robert B. Parker to continue the Sonny Randall series. And Mike, I'm sure a man who's had many honors in your career, this is one of the most distinct.
Jim, it is as much an honor. I've written 40 books in my life, and this has been as happy an experience as I've ever had. I was a friend of Bob Parker's before he even knew I was on the planet. I picked up his first novel, The Godwolf Manuscript, when I was at Boston College off of the shelf at a Brentano's that is long gone from Boylston Street. And over the years, I have probably read all of his books at least twice. I never go on an airplane ride where I don't have one Parker book, whether I've read it or not, as a backup. So last summer, I'm talking to my agent, the great Esther Newberg, and she is the agent for the Parker estate, which means Daniel and David Parker, Bob's sons. Joan, his wife, passed on, I think, 2 years after Bob did. And I said, hey, how could the Spencer series has been resumed. The Jesse Stone series has been resumed. The Westerns have been resumed by a writer named Robert Knott. In fact, my friend Ace Atkins, who's a Southerner, has done a wonderful job with Spencer in particular. He said, how come nobody did Sonny? There hadn't been a Sonny book in 10 years. Bob had written six of them. And so he said, I'll find out. I'm renting a house with my wife and daughter up in Vermont. She calls me back about an hour later, and he said, I just talked to Ivan Held at Putnam. He wants to know if you'll write a sample chapter. And I said, no. I have enough to do. I wasn't looking for extra work here. But I said, this man's attitude and his voice have been a part of my life for 40 years. I said, yeah, I can write a chapter. Jim, I wrote the chapter the next morning. I literally wrote it the next morning and sent it to Esther. It is pretty much the first chapter of Blood Feud. And it began a literary experience that brought me back to my college days and loving this kind of book. And it made me feel like my whole writing life had come full circle. And right before I talked to you this morning, I write longhand before I type 20 or 30 pages. I am looking down at chapter two of Sonny 2, as I'm calling it right now.
Well, how is it writing a novel? You're a man known primarily for nonfiction writing, and now you're stretching your limits a bit.
Well, as a matter of fact, there's no reason why you should have followed this part of my career, but I have written over the last 14 years sports novels for young readers, middle graders, and young adult readers, and we've sold about 5 million of them, and I've had about 15 New York Times bestsellers, and I started out writing fiction for adults. And it's funny, Jim, when you start writing for kids and you say, I'm writing adult novels now, it sounds like an adult movie a little bit, doesn't it? But it's not like that.
Yeah.
And so the transition to the kids' books was quite accidental, but I always knew that I would return to mystery writing. I wrote three mysteries back in the 80s and 90s, about a New York television reporter. And one of them I wrote as a TV movie, and one got nominated for an Edgar Award. It's my first love. Elmore Leonard is one of my heroes, John D. McDonald. But no one was more of a hero of mine than Robert B. Parker, who blessedly became a friend of mine around 1980, and we stayed friends for the last 30 years of his life.
And you're writing this one from the perspective of Sonny Randall. You're obviously not Sonny Randall, but you do it well.
Well, here's what I always say. I've got three sons, but I have an amazing wife and a 20-year-old daughter. So I'll give you a little heads up, Jim. If I don't write good, strong female characters, my life at home becomes extremely difficult, as you can imagine, okay? And Sonny Randall is smart, and funny and loyal and honorable. And guess what? I got two women in my life exactly like that.
Well, tell us about the interaction between Sonny and Richie, her ex-husband.
Well, there have been six Sonny Randall. Bob wrote six Sonny Randall books. And the great love of Sonny's life and Richie's life, there are each other. And he is the son of the Boston mob, except he's completely legit. He has never been part of the crime business. He owns a saloon over on Portland Street in Boston. And they were married and divorced, and he even got remarried again and got divorced. They are on again and off again all the time. They love each other. They can't live together, even though Richie would like them to. Sonny has always had that sort of commitment issue. It's one of the reasons she left the cops. She just didn't play nicely with others. But they know that they will always be a part of each other's lives. And in this book, they are back together again and thrown even more together because he gets shot. This is not a spoiler alert. It happens, I think, in the first six pages of the book by someone who's really after his father. And it begins what I think is a pretty interesting story about old grudges and old feuds. The cover of this book, I know you've seen it, is a glass of alcohol with brass knuckles inside that evokes the old-fashioned mob grudges of this book. And again, oh man, was it fun to write. It was really fun to write.
Now, Sonny's getting a little older. Is she concerned at all about her age?
The first scene of this book is the one I wrote in Vermont last summer, and it begins this way. As you know, she's sitting with her friend Spike, who is her sidekick, and a guy I think of as a gay superhero, one of the great characters Robert B. Parker ever imagined. And Sonny says to Spike, Do you think I look as if I'm getting older? And Spike says, this is a trap. And she said, no, I mean it. The UPS kid mammed me the other day. And Spike says, well, I assume you shot him. Jim, as soon as I wrote that exchange, I honestly did feel as if I was exactly where I was supposed to be.
And you're a New Yorker, but as we just heard a few moments ago, you spent some quality time in Boston as a collegian at Boston College, and you know this area.
I've got four. My three sons graduated from there, and my daughter is now a sophomore there. So I have spent a whole lot of my life in Boston, Massachusetts.
And it's easy to write about that area for you.
Oh, God. Every time I'm there now to visit my daughter or for a Yankee Red Sox game, I clear out some time, and I'll just go around the city. And I feel like a director, a movie director, looking for location spots. In this book, I've had Sonny move from living near the water over near the Public Garden, Boston Common. And she lives on a place called River Street Place. And I circled back there as I was finishing the book earlier this year, and a woman came out of the house, the townhouse, that I had actually picked as Sonny's address, and was not off-put by this, you know, this little guy standing there taking notes and looking up at her house. And I explained what I was doing. She said, oh, let me tell you even more about the house. So she became a great natural resource for me.
The book is Blood Feud, a Sonny Randall novel from Mike Lupica, who many of us have followed through the years, one of the most prolific writers and sportscasters and commentators in the world, as we know. He is a man of the world, and you know some prominent Louisiana people, including one James Carville.
I do a podcast. I actually do a couple of podcasts. One is we've taken the sports reporters on TV went off the air last year, but Mitch Albom and Bob Ryan and I now do it as a podcast. But I have my own podcast in which I just interview somebody that I want to talk to. And I've been fortunate enough to get most of the people I'd like to talk to. And James, I think I had him on 3 or 4 weeks ago. He's one of my favorite people. As you know, he lives and dies with the LSU Tigers. And his hopes got extremely high after they beat Georgia this year. And I think we all kind of talked ourselves into believing they might have a puncher's chance against Alabama, but it turned out that nobody has a puncher's chance this year against Alabama, even though Georgia did kind of smack them in the face for a while in the SEC championship game.
Well, another person. James lives in New Orleans. Another New Orleanian, Dave Dixon, was the founder of the United States Football League. And you and I have been around long enough to remember one Donald John Trump owning the New Jersey Generals. Is that in any way analogous to how he's running the country, how he ran the Generals?
Well, Jim, I hope not, because we know what happened to the United States Football League. So I hope he doesn't sink the country the way he sunk that. He even hired, as you know, one of my pals, the great number 22 of Boston College, Mr. Flutie. And, you know, they thought they could build a league around them, and it just you just couldn't go up against the National Football League and win. And you can't be a competitor. Charlie Ebersole, Dick Ebersole's son, is now starting a new spring football league, and I wish him well. I think if it's done right, people will watch football in the spring, even understanding that it is not the National Football League.
Well, Mike Lupica is one of the most versatile people and enthusiastic people in the world of sports or anywhere else, and we thank you and commend you for your fine work in keeping the Robert Parker Sonny Randall series alive with Blood Feud. Thank you, Mike Lupica.
Jim, thank you very much. And if you run into my pal Archie Manning, you say hi to him for me.
We'll do that. Good man. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.